Lord Krishna appeared within this world in Sri Mathura Vrindavan to reveal the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world. In Sri Vrindavan Dham, the Lord revealed such sweet, loving pastimes with his devotees, not only to reciprocate with their affection, but to attract the hearts of people from all over the world for all time to come. Later in Sri Kurukshetra, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Let us show our very sincere gratitude to His Holiness Bhakti Vibhut Muni Maharaj for his very loving reception toward all of us by loudly chanting Hari. Thank you, Maharaj. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to teach the fundamental basic principles by which we can approach the path of pure bhakti. Without pure unalloyed devotional service, no one can understand Krishna as he is, and no one can approach his eternal abode. Bhakti atvana niyashakya aham evam vidurachana. It is only by undivided devotional service that I can be understood as I am. But in this age of Kali Yuga, once only in a day of Brahma, over 4 billion years, does Krishna personally appear in the role of his own devotee as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has come to taste the sweetness of Sri Radharani's love and to distribute that love to the most fallen residents of the Kali Yuga for the simple price of having faith in the holy name of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his base here in Jagannath Puri for 24 years. And for the last 18 years of his manifested Leela, he remained here constantly, tasting the sweetest mellows of spiritual love. It was here in Jagannath Puri that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established Sri Rupa Goswami as the Acharya of our Sampradaya. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, Thakur Haridas, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, they all blessed Rupa Goswami for this purpose. And it was from the Siddha Bakula in Puri that Rupa Goswami returned to Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami also remained here for some time. And the 6 Goswamis, they established transcendental literature and by their example showed the path by which all sincere devotees must follow. In this way, the great sampradaya of the Gaudiya Vaishnav sampradaya manifested. But in course of time, there was great corruption. As Kali Yuga progressed, the propensity for cheating, sense gratification, and egoistic pursuits was intensifying. And by the middle of the 19th century, India was under materialistic British control. The world was chasing after the phantasmagoria of material enjoyment. And the sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya, except for a few great souls, was being corrupted by persons utilizing the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for their own egoistic purposes. Taking the highest gift of Braj Bhakti and demeaning it into something very cheap, full of sahajyas or pretenders. And the common people were following such misconceptions, and the intellectuals abhorred the activities of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, who came to give the greatest thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so absolutely strict in maintaining the highest and purest standards of spirituality. It was at that time that the Lord sent his loving eternal associate in the form of Bhaktivinod Thakur to this world. Bhaktivinod was a grihastha who had 10 children. He worked for the British government as a magistrate. But he was such an empowered preacher, such an outstanding example of devotional life. He was willing to risk his life and his everything to establish the true glory of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teachings in this world. He had a vision that Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya's prophecy would be fulfilled, that in every town and every village throughout this world, people will be chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Bhaktivinod Thakur was transferred by the British Raj from Bengal to be a magistrate here in Jagannath Puri. And he was also put in charge of Lord Jagannath's temple to oversee that the standards in every regard were properly followed. It was here in Jagannath Puri that Bhaktivinod Thakur prayed. He prayed for Lord Chaitanya to send one of their eternal associates from the spiritual world to assist him to spread pure love of God. Like Advaitacharya in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, he saw the degraded condition of the people of this world, even in the name of religion. And it broke his heart. This is the quality of one who loves God. Paradukaduki, that their greatest pain is to see others suffer. Thakur Bhaktivinod, like Advaitacharya, cried to see the pitiful condition of the conditioned souls in this world, being pounded by the waves of material existence. And it was here in Jagannath Puri that Lord Chaitanya fulfilled the prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur by sending one of his eternal associates from Goloka Vrindavan to this world to take lead. In this spreading the love of Vrindavan in all directions. We are now sitting in the house of Bhaktivinoda, and it was here that ray of Vishnu, that eternally empowered, lion-like spiritual master of all the worlds, appeared within this world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. We have come here on pilgrimage to worship his lotus feet. Through our prayer and through our dedication to be the servant of the servant of his servant. Our own beloved Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he took no credit for anything he did. He gave all credit to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained that the grandfather guru is more merciful than the guru. And he appealed to all of his disciples to surrender with great love to his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And it is for this reason that we have come here today. We would like to request His Grace Jananivas Prabhu to share with us his amazing realizations on the subject. Thank you very much.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nibhishisha Sanyavari Paschatya Deshadani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gauravakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for allowing me to speak. I'm taking the blessings from my superiors here, Maharajis, Prabhus, Matajis. We'll be able to speak something about our grandfather, our great-grandfather, who was very merciful. And Srila Prabhupada tells a story that when he was just born, actually a few months after he was born, he was staying here. His mother took the opportunity to take him to see Jagannath during the Rath Yatra. So this is probably yesterday. And Lord Jagannath stopped outside his house by his desire to see his new grandchild or his son. And his mother brought the baby out. Of course, she was allowed up on top of the cart because she is the magistrate's wife. And she placed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at the lotus feet of Jagannath. And at that time, Lord Jagannath's mala fell down on the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Haribo! Jagannath Swami ki! So this was an indication proclaiming the glories of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the future. He grew up a very brilliant child. He was actually a genius. And he could defeat big scholars. Actually, the scholars became afraid of him, even when he was a schoolboy. And he's also very learned in astrology. And he actually discovered one star in the sky that had previously been undiscovered. Even today, it's called the Saraswati star. And his guru requested him that, "You are a very intelligent boy. I request you to study this shastra which deals with, I don't know the name of the shastra. And you'll become very, very expert in this. You'll become a great proponent and a very, very a respected personality, qualified to speak." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Whatever I'm doing here in this studying is simply secondary. My main business is to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of my father." He said, "I have no other business." He's just quite a young man then. So this is his dedication. And it was during, later on in life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during his period as magistrate here, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur began his preaching program very rigorously. And there were different upper sampradayas here, chanting bogus mantras, and which he was speaking very strongly against. In fact, he was speaking so strongly that everybody got very upset. In fact, the whole of Puri practically was was bubbling and boiling. The bold statements he was making and the accusations he was making. So much so that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him that, "You should go to Mayapur and stay in Mayapur. You're turning the whole of Puri upside down here with your bold preaching." But this was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was such a bold preacher. In one way, he had more scope than Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initially by Srila Bipin Goswami, Bipin Vihari Goswami, who was actually initiated in the Nityananda Bhamsa line. But we know that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually accepted Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as his Shiksha Guru. But still at that time, he accepted Srila Bipin Vihari Goswami. Not just sentimentally, but in the Nabadi Dham Hapmiya, we find after every chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing different chapters in Nabadit Dhammahapmya. And after every chapter, he says, "I'm offering this to my Guru Maharaj, my gurus, Janava and Nityananda Prabhu. These are my gurus." And he says, "In fact, they have ordered me to write this book." So he accepted the... His eternal gurus are Janava and Nityananda Prabhu. And in the Nabadip Bhava Taranga, he actually reveals his eternal position as the maidservant of Janavi in a different aspect. So he's the eternal servant and disciple of Nityananda and Jahnava Devi. But still, socially he had to accept the guru, and because he is eternally related to Nityananda and Jahnava, it behooved him to take initiation in their sampradaya. Nityananda is the originator of that sampradaya. And so socially, he was a little bit more like aware of the situation. He had his guru, although all the things that his guru was saying, he didn't actually 100% agree with. There was slight controversy, but due to his position, he couldn't really say much, and plus he was a very prestigious person, a magistrate, so he couldn't really preach so boldly at that time. He was a little bit restricted, you could say, by the social circumstance. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was free from all these circumstances. And so he could just preach boldly. He could just go out and preach, and directly he would show his boldness. So he was directly attacking all the upper sampradayas. One time this Bipin Bihari came to his house, Narinabhadri, I believe. And it was the system that the guru would put the feet on the head of the disciple. It was a practice system in those days. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur come before his guru, Bipin Bihari. He bowed down, and Bipin Bihari put his feet on his head. Bhaktisiddhanta was there. He asked him, "Your father is doing, you will come, put your head at my feet." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Do you know who he is? Do you know whose head you have put your feet on?" He looked at him very gravely. "You really want me to come and put my feet at your head? Okay, you don't have to do it." They could understand the potency of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he took initiation from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj at the request of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, "He pointed out my spiritual master to me." And he was requesting again and again to Srila Gaurakishore to give initiation. Gaurakishore said, "I will never give anyone initiation." And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "You should take initiation. Don't come back home until you get initiation." So he was determined. He asked him many, many times. He approached him many times. But Gaurakishore would always refuse. And he said, just as Ramanuja Acharya approached his guru so many 19 times, something like that, he said, "You cannot deceive me. I will constantly be there begging for your blessing." So he asked Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj again. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "I will ask my Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he agrees, if he consents, then I will give initiation." So Bhaktisiddhanta was very happy. Next day he eagerly went to see him. He said, What did Mahaprabhu say?" And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "Oh, I forgot to ask him." So again he came the next day to ask him. And Gaur Kishore said, Prabhu did not give his order. Therefore, I cannot give initiation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was desperate to take initiation. And he said that it's a fact that you and your Prabhu, you are worshippers of that great debauchee. Krishna is known as a great debauchee. And he is your master, and Mahaprabhu's master. Therefore, why you should have mercy upon such a chaste, what's the word? Pious, what's the word?
Simple, maybe?
No, not simple. Means he's very educated, very learned, very sophisticated. Anyway, he said, I'm known as, you know, a Nastika Brahmachari, Pandit, but your worship is of a devotee, and I'm known as... So why you should have mercy on me? I'm a different category. But then he stood up with great emotion and he said, but if you don't give me initiation, then Karuna na hoili kadiya kandiya na pranara kibowara. If you don't give me initiation, if you are not merciful to me, I cannot maintain my life. And he just wept and wept and wept. Gaur Kishore said, yes, I will give you initiation. You please go and take bath in the Jalangi, Saraswati. Come back. He initiated in that day. I give him the name of Varshabhanavi Deita. Anyway, the servant of Srimata Radharani. Whom... It appears he was. Actually, he revealed his form as one of the eternal maidservants of Srimata Radharani. And sometime in Gaur Kishore, when he would see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati coming, he would say, oh, some manjari is coming. Srimati Radharani must be around somewhere. So it was at that time Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had rediscovered the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also staying there. He was performing a very great rata, Ekoti Lak Nam, 10 billion. Names, is it? The 10 million? He made this very, very strict vow to chant. It took him almost 10 years to complete. I think it was 3 lakhs a day. Something like Haridas Thakur. And at that time, he was living like an avadut. He had the bhajan kutir where the Chaitanya now is in Mayapur. Just living under a tin roof. Even that had a hole in it. And in the rainy season, he wouldn't bother to fix his roof, but he would just put an umbrella up. And he started to make disciples at that time. His first disciple, I think, was a young man who actually had who was inspiring... to take initiation from one guru who is from an upper sampradaya. But he came to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatitaka and very much impressed by him. And that night he went back to his house, he had a dream. And he saw his guru, who was intending to take initiation from with his wife. And suddenly they turned into a tiger and tigress. And they tried to devour him. And he woke up screaming. He ran to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatitaka and said, "Please, you give me shelter at your lotus feet." And he did. And initiated him into the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying that the whole of the pure teaching of Gaudiya was practically covered up at that time. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took him 6 or 7 years searching to get the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wanted to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Took him 6 or 7 years to find one. Now every temple we are, so many, every bookshop we can get Chaitanya Charitamrita quite easily. But it took him so many years to find one. That's how actually covered it had become, this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pure mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was here to establish again this pure teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was performing very severe austerities here. He had long hair, jat, matted hair. Somebody went to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and said, "You should go and preach very strongly. The age is very bad. The upper sampradayas have become very strong." Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "I'm getting old. I can't preach so well now. But my son, he can do. He's living in Nabadweep." So this gentleman came to see. Mayapur was undeveloped at that time. There's jungles and no roads, nothing there. He was asking the local Muslim people, "You know, Srila Paramapuja Bhakti Deita Madhava Goswami Ki Jai." He's the founder of this mat here. Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya. Sri Radha Nainmani Ki. Jagannath Balaram Subhadra Maharani Ki. Oh yeah. So they were asking, you know where this Bilmala Prasad, this was Bilmala Prasad was an earlier name of Bhaktisiddhanta Swaditaka, son of Kedarnath Bhaktivinoda Thakur. "Oh yeah, you mean that tall figure, yes. He will be here soon. He usually comes very quiet, so you wait by this place, he will come." After some time, he saw this figure coming up bank of Ganga. "Gauranga, Nitai, Panchatattva, Hari, Haribol, Haribol." Like Avatut, just wandering around. He fell at his feet and he said, "You are Bilmala Prasad, son of Kedarnath." "Yes. I just spoke to your father. He wants you to... I told him we need a very strong preacher to counteract the evil influence of Kali Yuga and how the pure teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being covered over. And he said, you are the person to do it, so you should come and preach. Come and preach, he said. Let everybody come to Mayapur. They can all come here. If you want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you want the mercy of Nitya, he's here. You just send them here. He said, no, but we should go out and preach to all the people. He said, this is the reign of Kali. My Guru Maharaj never told me to go to Calcutta. He told me it was Kali's reign, the realm of Kali. Do not go there. Let them all come to Mayapur. He said, if you want if you want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, he said, you don't have to go anywhere else. You don't see? Hey, Nitai, Hadwaita, Shibash, hey, come back, hey. And he's running up the bank of the Ganga. He's living like this, like another dude. He's visualizing all these things. And finally, he said he had a vision. Not vision, yeah, real. It wasn't a dream. But he was in the jog pit. And he saw the Panchatattva were coming, the Kirtan was coming. He saw Panchatattva. And all their devotees were there. Goswamis, all the devotees coming down the line. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even Gaurakishore was there, already after the disappearance of all these. Doing the Mahasankirtan. And they told him that give up your austerity, give up your vrata, now it's time for you to go and preach. You don't worry about anything, we're all behind you. Don't worry about men. Whenever it's needed, we will send. Don't worry about any facility money. Whatever you require will be supplied by us. Just go out and preach boldly. You will be successful. So then he began his preaching mission more seriously. And he started in Calcutta. He said, well, if we have to preach, we go where the people are. So he went to Calcutta city, which his Guru Maharaj just told him not to go there. But of course, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj also ordered him to preach. So then he understood that if I have to preach, then I'll preach in the big cities, where the people are. So then he began his mission. And one person, his name Chaku Shek, Muslim. They sold us the land in Mayapur. We had 9 acres of land when we first piece of land we had there in Mayapur. So Chaku Shek and Fakir, someone back here, they sold us the land. But he was telling a story, this Chaku Shek. Because he said when we were small boys, we would see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because they were from the Mayapur village. And they said he was such a personality, such a presence. They said we were all little kids and we'd be playing just out in the courtyards or everything in the village, and you know, be looking after the goats. The kids would be looking after the goats and the ladies would be washing their cloth in the pukur, and yeah, the village humdrum was going on. And he said we were all playing as little kids, and then suddenly, he said, the first the grown-ups would stop their work, and then gradually everything would become calm. Then we little kids would become aware something is happening, so we would stop playing and we would look around, and everybody had stopped and everybody's gaze was fixed on the place where Bhaktisiddhanta was playing. He had a little house there in Mayapur. He had just come out of his door and he just stood on the out of the veranda, and he said the whole village just became completely tranquil, and everybody was just fixed. He said, this was his presence. Just come outside of his house. This is the effect that he had. One of his disciples, Srila Damodar Maharaj, who was living next door to us in Mayapur, then he finally moved to Totokokinath, near to Totokokinath. He left his body a few years ago. But he was telling us one story. He was walking on the Bhaktisiddhanta Road. This Bhaktisiddhanta Road is that goes past the Jogpit, Chaitanya Mat, ISKCON, down to Hulagat. That actually was built by, under the influence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He invited the British Raj to come. Who was that? Was it Sir John Anderson? Maybe Sir John Anderson. They invited him to come to Mayapur, British Raj. Imagine a little village. So it was a big thing. So he said, the British Raj, you have to make a road for him. You can't just let him come through the jungle. So in this way, he got everybody fired up. And they made that road in one day, all the way from the Ghat to the Chaitanya Mat. So he got a nice road out of that. The preachers are very expert in using the circumstance. Anyway, it was just mud piled up, and they put banana palm leaves on it. Made a nice road. So that road is still existing. It's called Bhaktisiddhanta Road. He said one day he was walking with his Guru Maharaj on that road, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he stopped, and he looked up, and he said, how degraded did this age of Kali Yuga becoming? So degraded. He said, even on Chandraloka, they are becoming so degraded. And then he stopped, and then he carried on walking. Damodar Maharaj said, then I could understand the meaning of Jagat Guru. And indeed, I think it's very well known amongst the Gaudiyas that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta indicated he would go to Chandraloka after preaching here for further preaching. Srila Prabhupada didn't give the destination, but he was giving a lecture one time on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Mayapur. And he said, my Guru Maharaj came into this world with a mission. And when it was finished, he said he went somewhere else to another place to do exactly the same thing. He said, this is called Nitya Leela. But many of his disciples indicated he went to Chandraloka for further preaching. Another incident happened on that road. One night, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he left the mat. It was very late at night. And one of his disciples saw him. Where's Guru Maharaj going? Nobody goes out at night. There's nowhere to go. He followed him. That disciple later became Bhagavat Maharaj. He lived at Hulagat. Anyway, he was a young brahmachari. So Bhaktisiddhanta is walking out. So someone is behind. He said, who is there following me? Is it your disciple, Guru Maharaj? Okay, come. So he carries on walking. They go down just before Nandanacharya's house in Mayapur. There's a big banyan tree over the road, just at that place. Big kirtan is coming from the other side. This is middle of the night. Where are they coming from? There's no boats. Big kirtan coming up the road. Bhaktisiddhanta sees them. They're closer and effulgent figures. Bhaktisiddhanta, they come up, they're running, they're embracing, rolling on the ground, showing all the symptoms of ecstasy, going on and on. Then they all get up and they go off. Big kirtan, hurry on. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says to his disciple, this kirtan party just come from Swetadvip. Just come for darshan of the yogi. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki.
Jai.
So then he began his mission, became very powerful, known as the Shingha Guru. People were frightened to face him. And even if they didn't want to face him, he would face them. He was walking one time, his disciples said, look, Guru Maharaj, here comes that big Mayavadi. Mayavadi, Sannyasi, was walking the other side of the road with his disciples. He's doing a lot of Mayavadi preaching now. Bhaktisiddhanta crossed the road, walked straight up to him. Why you are teaching this? Why you are cheating the people out of their eternal service to Krishna? Why you are teaching this? I have nothing to say. He put his head down. Another time they were on the way to Puri on the train, but of course the trains were quite slow in those days. So it took actually a couple of days. Someone gave Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur a packet of box of mangoes, paka. So, of course he never took mango, paka mango. Because he ate one when he was a little baby, a small boy. He ate one mango, and his father said, why did you eat that mango? It was not offered to Jagannath. He said, from that time, he took a vow, he will never take mango again. And he kept that vow. But he would take kacham chutney. He liked green mango chutney. It's a completely different flavor, but he liked it. But he would never eat the paka mango. Prabhupada said, so strict, a little boy like that, so determined. Anyway, so he said, put the mangoes up the top. You can imagine, after the first day in the hot train, they started to go a bit pocha, a little bit. So anyway, there was a big Mayavadi on the train. And he was speaking very loudly, promoting the Mayavad philosophy. Everything is one. So, after some time, Bhaktisiddhanta said to his disciples, get the box of mangoes down. So they opened it up and they were really ripe by that time. He said, get the most rotten mango you can find there. So they got one out of the bottom. He said, tell them my Guru Maharaj is offering the mango to the sannyasi over there. So the disciples went with the mango and they said, our Guru Maharaj is offering you mango. You please kindly accept it. And he had a pocha mango in his hand, which was smelling like anything. And his disciples saying, you should accept it. You should honor the prasad from our Guru Maharaj. So he was looking at the mango, looking at Bhaktisiddhanta, looking at his disciples. And they said, please eat it. Everything is one. We have given you one nice mango. Kachapaka, it's all one. So... At that point, he had to renounce his philosophy. Then he became the laughing stock of the train. Anyway, by his kind grace, he has gifted us with his son, Srila Abhaycharanarinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And by his grace, we're all able to sit here today and respect Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and enjoy the festival of Jagannath. Enjoy Jagannath Mahaprasad. even embrace Jagannath, which would have all been impossible without their mercy. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki, Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nama Om Vishnivaraya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Mine. When we think of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we must immediately think of the most extraordinarily intense clarity. Please understand, what is fog? What is murkiness? What is a cloudy situation? And then, in your mind, contrast that with the most lucid, bright light in which everything is clear, everything is perfectly understood. When we think in this way, we can slightly approach the extraordinary contribution of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You heard His Grace Jnanivas Prabhu describe Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur as approaching Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. Please grasp the complete significance of this, of his acceptance of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. You have, as the disciple, the most powerful scholar, and then you have as the guru, a complete illiterate. This shows you that bhakti is something beyond material conception. Their affair, their relationship, was totally on the transcendental platform. And in that way, they set the standard for what is a proper relationship between guru and disciple. Such a proper relationship between guru and disciple is not dependent on any material qualification. Although Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was illiterate, yet he could deliver the sweetest lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam. And although Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was such a scholar, he completely demonstrated the principles of humble devotional service with no material motivation. To execute bhakti yoga in this world can become a very complicated thing, because the nature of material existence is to obscure what is the true path of light. Krishna talks about this himself in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not cover up the reality of material existence. What does he say? Sakkalenaha mahata yoganashta parantapa. Because of the effect of time, even the pure message of bhakti becomes lost. That is the nature of material existence. Krishna is explaining to you, this is the way it is. Because of the effect of the time factor, the conclusion, the perfect conclusion, the Siddhanta of Bhagavad Gita, can become obscured, can become twisted, can become
twisted for material purposes. So from time to time, it becomes necessary to reestablish what is pure devotion to Krishna without any economic or political motivations. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, with the strength of a transcendental lion, so strongly established pure devotion to Krishna beyond any karma, jnana, yoga. He stood up for the principle of pure bhakti with such lion-like ferocity that few dared to challenge him. One of the essential principles of pure bhakti is that anyone, no matter what their material background is, if they properly follow the practices of Sanatana Dharma, then they are considered a Vaishnava. And indeed, a Vaishnava is more than a Brahmana. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur broadcast this transcendental principle with great intensity. And many persons were angered by this. They reacted toward him as if he were destroying the foundation of what they thought was religion. When he would lead his parikrama parties around Vrindavan, sometimes the people would gather and throw stones. Indeed, some conspirators went to the police to pay off the police, "You please terminate the existence of this person." The way our Srila Prabhupada tells the story, the police replied, "Yes, we certainly do these things. You have come to the right people with the right kind of task. But we don't do it to such a saintly person." Try to understand the opposition that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur encountered. You, today, sitting here, you can't fully appreciate, because now it is more and more commonly accepted that anyone from any social situation, any part of the world, can practice bhakti yoga. This freedom to practice bhakti yoga, that is the sweet gift of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. A Vaishnava is beyond all material designations. He defended this point with such strength and never conceded. He was so famous for not compromising that even some of his own disciples were afraid to bring big donors to meet their Guru Maharaj. They were thinking, these people are supporting the mosque, they're giving big donations, we bring them to Guru Maharaj and he might chop them. Better not to bring them. Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would not compromise in the slightest. He would always speak the lion-like truth. Try to understand the great luxury you have of being able to see things clearly. Never take that gift for granted. That gift of clarity has been given to you through disciplic succession. had Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur not done what he did, most of you here would not have such facilities to be Krishna conscious. Most of you here would, there would be no question of your wearing a Brahmin's thread or being recognized as an authentic Brahmana. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur firmly established what is real bhakti and how real bhakti should be applied even in the modern world. He, during his time, the Gaudiya Math covered India with such organizational skill and such organizational finesse, it was a revolution. There were 4 printing presses. The printing presses were in the temples. In this way, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur established that there is the small mridanga and there's the big mridanga. Both are instruments for directly glorifying Krishna. Our own Srila Prabhupada would always refer to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I'm just doing what he told me to do blindly. I don't know what the result will be. In the USA, during the 70s, when grand disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would go to the airports of America and distribute volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes across the airport floor of the terminal, there would be 30 book distributors stretched out across the whole airport terminal. And I remember big businessmen, salespersons, they would stop and watch these devotees distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes distributing 300 Srimad Bhagavatams in one day. And the businessmen would stop and watch, and they would come up to the devotees and say, "We have never seen anything like this in the history of sales. What is going on?" Frequently, these businessmen, they would pull out a business card, give it to the devotee. "You please, you come to my firm. I'll give you any job you want. If you can sell these books, you can sell anything." When Srila Prabhupada would hear about that, he would say, "What can I do? I'm just following the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur blindly. I don't know what the result will be. He told me to print books and distribute them. I'm trying that. I'm doing my humble best. You all kindly assist me." So in this way, we can see the power that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur unleashed through the disciple succession. The fact that you all here can understand what is pure bhakti, that's because of the great groundwork done by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. While you all were chanting and dancing in ecstasy during the Rath Yatra parade, I had to return because for health reasons. And so Radhanath Maharaj's servants, they were cooking, and so on the TV there was also the broadcast of the Rath Yatra. And something you take to be so clear, everything is understood. What is Rath Yatra? What is Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra? If you heard the commentators on television, you'd wonder if you were at the same event. This Rath Yatra is a combination of everything. There is Jagannath for the Vishnu worshippers. There is Subhadra for the Shaktas. There is Baladev for the Shaivites. All the religions of the country are combined in this one Rath Yatra. There are Buddhist rituals incorporated. There are Jain rituals incorporated. On and on and on. It went like this. I was thinking, just see something we can understand so clearly. For others, is complete fog. They don't have the slightest clue what's going on. And I think we take that for granted. We think, oh, Rath Yatra, yes, Jai Jagannath, it's all so obvious and clear what this is all about. No. Because you are following in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you can see with extraordinary clarity. Otherwise, what would the situation be? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur put forth the principle coming from Rupa Goswami. We're all Rupanugas, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur showed the Yukta Vairagya principle coming from Rupa Goswami in the modern context. He had his preachers going around in motor cars. He had them revolutionarily showing how to use modern things for Krishna's service. Most of all, he taught to never compromise. Our own Srila Prabhupada was once asked by my godbrother, Giriraj Maharaj. I've been told, Giriraj Maharaj wrote to our Srila Prabhupada, that I'm here preaching in India. I've been told that if I want to be popular and to be accommodating, I should be very flexible in dealing with demigod worshippers and any type of Hindu sect. I should be very accommodating. I should be very receptive and try to recognize everyone. What do you think? I've been told this. But what is your answer? So our Srila Prabhupada wrote Giriraj Maharaj back, "My Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never compromise. I will never compromise, and none of my disciples will ever compromise." This is our inheritance. What can we do? We have to stay true to the family line of business. Once again, please try to understand your great fortune of having clarity, of being able to have a glimpse at what pure bhakti is and see it in action. This is not an ordinary thing. What do you think your consciousness would be like if you were an innocent person listening to the, watching on television the Rath Yatra festival and hearing all this concoction? They were quoting Bhagavad Gita verses and saying this refers to the one soul that is everyone. Just taking Krishna's words and putting it in Mayavadi context. You'd be lost hearing all that. But because you have the backing of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you will not tolerate it. You won't tolerate it for a second now. But without that backing, you would listen and just accept all these distortions. As His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was speaking, a Vaishnava's heart breaks to see the suffering and the ignorance. That suffering and ignorance is because of no clear vision, no clear understanding. That's the story of material existence. No vision, no understanding. If anyone ever made the mistake of thinking that bhakti is for the sentimentalists and the non-intellectuals, their dream would be shattered upon meeting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. With his extraordinary scholarship, he could present the conclusions of bhakti from any scripture, even Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, which are normally difficult for digging out the bhakti conclusions. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could shine forth from any shastra. The fact that Gaudiya Vaishnavism has such a solid philosophical foundation and such strong philosophical barriers against concoction, this is because of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Try to understand the danger that the unprotected mind goes through in glorification of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I can tell you one example from my own life of what it's like without the guidance of the light coming through disciplic succession, the intellectual clarity of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Although a lowly soul, I was even lower for attending such a bastion of Kali Yuga University, where the topmost scholars and professors in the world predominated. And I remember I became frustrated with material knowledge and I wanted to understand what is true religion. I said, let me study Hinduism. That way I might find some truth. So I went to the class of a, still to this day, world-renowned professor of Hinduism. I went to his class and he gave some talk about what the course would cover. And then he said, tonight's assignment, I want you to read a section of the Upanishads and then you write in your own words what you think it means. Even though I was just a denizen of Kali Yuga, I thought, this sounds crazy. I'm supposed to speculate on what the Upanishads mean. So then I went to the university bookshop and I said, I'll get all the books for this course. I won't attend the course, but I'll read all the books for the course. I'll find out for myself what Hinduism is. So I got a Bhagavad Gita, so-called Bhagavad Gita, by one English professor, still renowned to this day, Thomas Edgerton. And I took his Gita to my home. I opened it randomly, and there I read, Krishna is a concept meant to satisfy both the intellectuals and the sentimentalists. Somehow there, by the intervention of the super soul, I just slammed the book shut and threw it against the wall. This is the darkness of ignorance. This is the hell of Kali Yuga. Never mind, it's at such a prestigious institution of learning. This is the hellfire of life without Krishna consciousness. But now we're basking in such lucid clarity. We understand what is pure devotional service. We understand who is Krishna. We understand what is the nature of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Don't take this clear understanding for granted. Oh, it's such an ordinary thing. No, it is very rare. It is very special. And we have such an extraordinary debt to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his representatives. Without the effort of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we would not be here today. So I offer my most humble obeisances from my most useless self to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who set such an unparalleled example of intelligence in Krishna consciousness. And I offer my most humble obeisances to my own Srila Prabhupada, who again and again said, I have no credit, I have no ability, I'm simply the humble servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki.